again to Hebrews chapter number 11, as we said, and then we're going to reference some things in Genesis chapter number 22 tonight. And of course, we're dealing with Abraham again. We dealt with Abraham before, how he wandered and how God had promised a land to him and his seed and had given them a promise. And then we looked there at Sarah and that impossibility of faith, those obstacles, and how faith overcame. And tonight, as the scripture does, it turns back and it references Abraham and looks at the instance there on Mount Moriah with Abraham and his son Isaac. And I just want to say kind of a preliminary statement. I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you've not already heard. So much great preaching has been done out of this text and on this subject. And listen to a message this week, an old message by Brother Buster Seaton on the gospel preached to Abraham, and just trying to jog my memory on some of these things and looked at some commentaries. And it's just a well of truth. And there's nothing we're going to say tonight that you've not already heard. But it's just good to be reminded of good Bible truth tonight. Amen. And so I hope that you'll not let this be redundant, but you'll rejoice with me together in this great truth in the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, and I want to look tonight in verse number 17. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 17. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Well, those familiar words, his only begotten son, jump out to us on the text and immediately transfer our mind there to John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. He said in verse number 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. If we look in Genesis chapter number 22 tonight, we're just going to kind of insert ourselves in the middle of a chapter and just look at this for reference tonight. And verse number 7 of Genesis chapter number 22 tonight, the Bible said, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son from me, or withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much for, Lord, just the good spirit, the good atmosphere, Lord, in your house tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless Brother Gravely and Sister Nolita, Lord, as they're away. Watch over them, keep them safe, bless them where they are. But Lord, tonight I ask you, God, that you would meet with us around your word. I pray that you would strengthen our faith, Lord, that you would increase our faith, Lord, as the disciples requested of you that day. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Teach us, Lord, to trust you more. And I pray, Lord, that you'd take these instances of these Old Testament individuals, Lord, of how they trusted you, how they overcame by faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take these things, apply them to our heart and our life. And, Lord, may we ever be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, until we see you one day. Lord, if there's one here tonight lost without you, I pray that the gospel, Lord, would illuminate their heart. Lord, that you'd convict them. God, show them where they stand before you. But I pray, Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Lord, that they might be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, we'll love you. Thank you for all that you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we come to Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight, coming back, dealing with this episode or this instance in the life of Abraham, we know that Isaac is now included in this. Of course, we know that as the writer of Hebrews looks back He kind of goes through the history of the patriarchs, and Abraham was called upon God to sojourn as a pilgrim in this world. He glosses over Sarah and the ability that she had to conceive seed and to receive strength to trust God by faith. She judged God faithful who had promised. And now we come to this portion where, of course, Isaac has been born. The promised seed has been received. And now God calls upon Abraham to do something nearly unthinkable, something that certainly we would take issue with, something that we would certainly question tonight. He calls upon him to offer that promised seed, to offer his only begotten son. And you say, well, now wait a minute, Abraham already had another son by the name of Ishmael. That being true, the one that God truly recognized and the one whom the Messiah would come from, of course, would be Isaac. And Isaac was the one that, of course, was recognized tonight. But as we think about this aspect of the life of Abraham tonight, whenever we think about his life, we look at our text tonight and we think about verse number 17. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We think about Abraham and his worship tonight. God called upon Abraham to perform a very tall order, a very large thing tonight, something, as we said, seemingly impossible or unthinkable. God desired for him to offer up his only begotten son, and he wanted him to do that by way of worship. He was to take his son and to sacrifice him there to God in the land of Moriah on the mountain of God's choice. And so we see the worship. And of course, we know this tonight, that worship is something that must be done by faith. Our faith is anchored in the Word of God. Our faith is anchored in who God is and who Christ is tonight. And of course, our worship tonight is not directed outwardly to others, but our worship is directed upward to God tonight. And so whenever we come to the house of God and we worship, we need to be reminded that our worship is something that is done by faith. May not always feel like worshiping, may not always be in the best of mood or best of spirit, but whenever we worship God, we are to worship Him by faith. And then, of course, we not only see Abraham's worship, but then think about this tonight. I think about Abraham's wonder. Abraham's wonder. Look in verse number 18. The Bible says, of whom it was said concerning Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God gave the promise to Abraham. God performed a covenant with him. And then, of course, that promise was confirmed in the person of Isaac. Now, like anybody else, we would read through the text in Genesis chapter number 22, and we come to the place where God has called upon Abraham to offer this son, and we wonder about that. We have questions about that tonight. Why is it that God would have Abraham offer up this son? They had to go through the heartache of waiting. They had to go through the difficulty with Hagar and Ishmael and all of the jealousy and the problems in the family, and they had to come through all of this stuff only to come full circle to the point where God called upon Abraham to offer his son Isaac. Don't always understand the will of God. Sometimes I have questions about what God has done and what God is currently doing in my life, and even the wonder of what is God going to ask of me, what is God going to require from me. But while we wonder and while we have questions, thank God our faith can be deeply rooted in the Word of God, deeply rooted in the one who has promised. And while we may not be able to figure everything out, thank God we know the one who is the answer tonight. As they sang tonight, Jesus is all I need. He is the answer for the questions of life. Thank God He makes up the misunderstandings, the things that we cannot put together tonight. Thank God His grace and His glory surpasses everything that I seemingly cannot understand on this side tonight. And so we see the worship, and then we see the wonder, but then I see Abraham's willingness tonight. Look in verse number 19. I love this verse. The Bible said that Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham did not shake at the promise of God. He did not tremble at the commandment of God. This was something that he, accounting God able to raise him up. You know what that means? That means before they ever started their ascent up that mountain, Abraham had already reckoned Isaac dead. Amen. He had already reckoned the sacrifice taking place, the worship already done, and he just believed the fact that God was going to take care of the situation, and God was going to raise Isaac from the dead tonight. Amen. God had taken Abraham, and God had put his faith on trial tonight. Amen. We may find ourselves in those types of situations tonight where God calls upon us tonight to do seemingly the unthinkable, calls upon us tonight to do something that we cannot understand. And listen, whenever we walk by faith, we have to understand tonight that faith is not just a one and done, but faith is a progress. Faith is a process in our life of trusting God more and more and more, so that he is able to receive the honor and the glory in and from our life. That's what we want to preach on tonight. Amen. Faith on trial. Number one, I want you to think about this tonight. When we consider Abraham's faith on trial, and we consider our own faith on trial tonight, the first thing that I want you to consider tonight is this. I want you to think about the personality. Hebrews chapter number 11 opens up in verse number 17 like it does with every other patriarch up to this point, with every other individual up to this point. And he says in verse number 17, these three words, he says, by faith Abraham. Amen. By faith, Abraham. I think it's good for you and I to be reminded tonight, if these early Jewish Christians and early Hebrew Christians who were tempted to turn back to the law and turn back to Judaism, if they needed to be reminded to focus their faith back in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think certainly us Gentile dogs, the world that we live in, we need to be reminded that our faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this life that we live is a life that is lived by faith. Up to this point, Abraham had already been tested. Faith was not something new in Abraham's life tonight. Faith was not something that was some novel idea or anything like that. Faith was something that God required out of everybody who would follow him tonight. Amen. And so we think about this personality. God had tested Abraham's faith up to this point. I want you to consider this, that some 80 years prior in Genesis chapter number 12, do you realize tonight that God had called upon Abraham to give up his father? To leave his father behind, to leave his kindred behind, to leave with what he was familiar with behind. And now in the account of Genesis chapter number 22, God calls upon his servant now not to give up his father, but now to give up his son. And what I'm trying to say in that tonight is listen, faith is not just a one and done. Faith is a progression. Faith is us trusting God by faith for salvation, but then we learn to trust God with the aspects and the things in our life. We learn to trust God in every area of our life tonight. And so God develops our faith, of course, through trials and temptations and tribulation and all the things that we endure down here in this world. God is strengthening, and God is giving endurance to our faith. I think about Abraham, and you think about his faith being detached, how he is called upon to leave everything that he knows. And God sometimes will alienate us and separate us from the things that we are familiar with so that he can have our attention and develop our faith. And so we think about our faith detached, and then we think about our faith and Abraham's faith developed, learning to trust God, wandering about, receiving things from the the hand of God. God is developing our faith. But listen, God is not doing this to keep this all to himself. He's not doing this to hide it under a bushel. He's not doing this to veil this from anybody's eyes. One day our faith will be displayed. That faith that was detached and that faith that was developed, God will put it on display for others to see for his honor and his glory. And so we see the personality tonight, and then of course we see the purpose. The Bible says there again in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. We see the personality and then we see the purpose. We think in our mind that in the story, in the account of Genesis chapter number 22, that God is looking down upon Abraham and God desires that which is most precious to Abraham. God desires that which he had waited for and longed for and hoped against hope, the Bible says. He longed for that promise to be fulfilled. But understand tonight, the purpose of God requiring this upon Abraham's part is not necessarily the desire for Isaac. Listen, God understood and God had already said that Isaac was a part of the promise. In other words, God was going to take care of Abraham and God was going to take care of Isaac. It was not necessarily Isaac that he was after. He just wanted Abraham's faith and he wanted Abraham's obedience. And he did that and he conveyed that by asking for what was most precious to Abraham tonight. A lot of times we look at things in our life. Well, we can even like Abraham did. We can look at our children. We can look at a career that we've built. We can look at different things that we have in life, different aspects, even in your younger years, people and things and places. Boy, they have a special place in our heart and they become very, very important to us, near and dear to us. But there may be a time that God calls upon you, like he did for Abraham, to become detached to those things. And it's not that God is being stingy and it's not that God is trying to deny you of certain things in your life. God just desires you tonight and he wants you. And that thing that Abraham thought that he might maybe lose, maybe in the deep recesses of his heart, maybe there was a temptation to say, you're going to lose your only begotten son. God's going to make a mess of this entire thing. Even that slightest temptation, thank God faith was able to overcome it. Tonight, and the very thing that he thought that he would lose, and the very thing that he thought that he would have to give up, God allowed him to keep it in the end anyhow. Amen. God was going to take care of both of these men. There was no need for Abraham to worry tonight. We see the personality, the purpose, and then of course the promise. We'll quickly say God was going to keep his word. Abraham was not doing this, of course, on his own whim tonight. This was not some idea that he just hatched up in order to appease God. This was something that God had asked him for. And Abraham, of course, like many others, he was not operating in blind faith. That statement bothers me. Because the fact of the matter is tonight is there's no such thing as blind faith. We're not spinning a roulette wheel or rolling the dice and just hoping that God's going to just come out in our favor. That's not what faith is. That's foolishness is what that is. That's fatalism. That's trusting our life and trusting the happenstance of our life to luck and to fate. There's no such thing as blind faith. Well, you know, I'm just going to pick a door and walk through it and just God's going to have to help me. No, that's not faith tonight. There's no such thing as blind faith. It's just walking in the light that God has given us. Walking in. Abraham had a command. Abraham had a call. And though it seemed impossible and though it seemed inconceivable for God to do this, thank God, listen, Abraham had the word of God. And though our pathway seemed dim and maybe the light may be kind of small tonight, we have the word of God and we have the commandments of God. And thank God, no matter what the world may say, no matter what others may try to convince us tonight, our faith is in the word of God and it's always best just to do things God's way. So we see the personality, the purpose, the promise. And then I think about the possibility. He said there in verse number 19, he said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Think about the possibility. God had called upon Abraham, and Abraham chose to believe God. The Bible says that whenever Abraham believed God concerning the covenant, when God appeared to him there in Genesis chapter number 12, what an opportunity Abraham had to believe God, and he trusted God, and thank God everything worked out the way God desired it to, because there was a man who was willing to believe him and to trust him. He was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Every day that we live is an opportunity to believe God. Every day that we live, we have opportunities. We're either going to trust God, or we're going to deny him. We're going to walk in unbelief. We're not going to believe what he said. But every day is an opportunity to believe God. The great possibilities of faith. And then, of course, tonight we think about this. We can't look at this text and think about the things that is said in the text tonight without looking at the picture, the promise, the picture, the shadows of what was to come. The Bible said in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received the promises. He offered up his only begotten son. There is a great picture tonight in the text. The scene in Genesis 22 is a picture of what was to come. How God spared Isaac, but yet, thank God, listen, one of these days, he would not spare his own son for us. We think about that text in Genesis chapter number 22. We think about how God showed the plan of salvation. He showed what was to come to Abraham there on Mount Moriah. Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible talks about the seed of the woman, how Satan had come and he had tempted Eve, and he had caused man to fall into sin. Man condescended to his wife. Adam partook of the fruit and disobeyed God, and they had been plunged into a curse. But God had a promise for Adam, and God had a promise for Eve, but he had a promise for the devil too. He said that there would be the seed of the woman, that there would be enmity between he and the devil. And that one day his heel would bruise. He would bruise his heel, but his heel would crush his head. You say, what was he talking about? He was talking about the coming Messiah. He was talking about a picture of the Savior there in Genesis chapter number 3. We move on through the scripture and we talk about how God in the book of Galatians tells us, the Apostle Paul said that the gospel, God preached the gospel unto Abraham. You say, how and where did that happen? He did it through the pictures of Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter number 2, when Abraham went to offer up his son Isaac. Jesus spoke to that crowd in John chapter number 8 and verse number 56. And Jesus said these words. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Talking about himself. How did Abraham see Jesus? How was he able to look by faith and see the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. So how in the world can you say that you have seen Abraham? And he uttered these words. He said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. Amen. Jesus Christ was revealed to the patriarch Abraham through the offering up of his son Isaac. When you think about Isaac tonight, Isaac's birth was prophesied, wasn't it? It was told that Isaac would come. It was told that Isaac would be revealed. It was promised that Isaac would be born. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the idea of them being in their old age and this son of promise being born. But thank God, listen, just like Isaac was prophesied and it was told that he would come, thank God, listen, Isaiah all those years ago said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Amen. Thank God, listen, the Bible says that his name would be called Emmanuel. Boy, the angel showed up and said that thou shalt call his name Jesus.
and he shall save his people from their sins. Just as Isaac's birth was prophesied, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied. Isaac's birth seemed impossible, didn't it? Sarah was past age. After the manner of women, the Bible says, she was not a prime candidate to have a baby. I think she was 90 years old, and Abraham was 100. I mean, they were well over the hill tonight. But we think about the barrenness of Sarah's womb. We think about that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, that unused tomb, that barren tomb, if you will. Never had a body inside of it. But can I tell you tonight that from barren wombs to empty tombs, God specializes in the impossible. You say, how does it come to pass? It comes to pass by faith. Isaac was prophesied. Isaac's birth seemed impossible. Isaac's sacrifice was a shadow. We think about all of these different things that happened in Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham and the lad went yonder to worship. It was all a picture of Jesus Christ walking up Calvary's mountain to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Just as Abraham was willing, God was willing. Just as Isaac was willing. And we don't have any account of Isaac uttering any words in rebuttal. He's not refusing anything. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ opened not his mouth. He was a lamb. He was as a lamb to the slaughter tonight. And all of these things that happened to Isaac were pictures. They were shadows of what was to come at Calvary. We think about Isaac's substitution. As they make their journey there, they've got that donkey with them. He's got the donkey with the wood upon his back. And then here's what Abraham does. Abraham takes the wood off the donkey's back and he puts it on Isaac's back. Amen. You know what that typifies tonight? That typifies our sin debt. That donkey's a picture of a sinner. He had that wood. He had his humanity upon himself. He had the curse of Adam's race running through his veins. And that humanity, that sin, that condemnation was taken off of that donkey and it was laid on Isaac. Amen. At Calvary, our sin was placed upon the Son of God. The wrath of God, the judgment of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that donkey was able to walk free. And Isaac bore that burden all the way to the top of that mountain. When Isaac was making the journey with his father Abraham, he looked around. He saw the wood. Saw the knife, saw the fire, saw everything that was pertinent to having a good sacrifice. He said, but we're just missing one thing. We're missing the lamb. He said, where is the lamb? You know these words? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. Unknown to Abraham and unknown to Isaac, as they were making their way up that mountain, there was a ram making his way up the other side. Maybe he was on a hidden ridge somewhere. God was in the business of keeping his promise, and God provided himself a lamb. Christ willingly submitted himself to that sacrifice that day at Calvary. He gave himself. Sinner, if you're here tonight, I want you to understand that God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As we look at these Old Testament pictures and we see how a father was willing to sacrifice his son and to give his only begotten son, God the Father was willing to give heaven's best for you. And Isaac didn't protest. Isaac answered not a word, but Isaac willingly laid down upon that wood. He was willingly bound. He was willingly prepared to be a sacrifice. And his father Abraham raised that knife to cut his son and to quarter him up as they did with sacrifices in those days. The angel of the Lord hollered out and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, don't lay a finger on the lad. Don't touch him. He said, I know. He said, God knows and understands that you wouldn't even spare your your own son. Whatever the Lord wants, that's what you're willing to do. And the knife was stopped, and Isaac was able to walk away free. Oh, but I'm going to tell you what God did for you and God did for me. He spared Isaac, but he didn't spare Jesus. The wrath of God was poured out upon the Son of God. The knife of God's law and the fire of God's judgment and the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ. And Jesus died that day, paying your sin debt and mine. And he said, "It is finished." Amen. Meaning we can add nothing or take away anything from the finished work of Calvary. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you've never been born again, never been given new life in the Lord Jesus Christ by God, you're a good candidate to believe the gospel tonight. You say, "How do I do that?" You trust Him by faith. You trust what God said. There was a man in the Word of God in the book of Acts, a jailer in Philippi. And two servants of the Lord by the name of Paul and Silas were there. They were imprisoned. They weren't despondent about their situation. They began to sing praises unto God, and God did the miraculous. God allowed the shackles to fall off. God was allowing those men to go free, and that man came in trembling. He was afraid. He had heard their songs, and he had heard the testimony of Christ. He had heard about this Jesus tonight. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they didn't say you got to be baptized. And they didn't say you got to join the church. And you got to look like a Christian and do this and do that. No, here's what they said. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The remedy for your sin, the remedy for death, hell, and the grave is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Christian, tonight God may call upon you and I tonight to seemingly do the impossible. To do the things that we don't understand. But I think I have it on pretty good authority tonight. I search through the Word of God and I search through prophecy. I don't think God is ever going to ask anybody to do what Abraham did concerning Isaac ever again. God stopped him. God didn't allow Isaac to be killed. But when it came to his only begotten son, we could say it like this: God put his money where his mouth is. God did what he didn't allow Abraham to do. And God sacrificed his son for you and I tonight. And thinking about this tonight, God may never ask any of us to do this. I don't think he will. He's not asking us to bring our child and to lay out wood and to sacrifice our child just to really to test our obedience. But what he is asking you to do tonight is he is asking you to trust him. You may have an Isaac in your life. You may have something that you have deemed so important that you just cannot let go of it. Young people, you may have something in your life that you think that you need. But God is prompting you to let him have more of your life. To let him have more of yourself. Would you be willing to do that tonight? Would you be willing to lay your Isaac on an altar and say, "Lord, I know you don't want this. I know what you're really after is me tonight." Let God have his way in your life. Let God have his way in your heart tonight.